that video. It's right there, actually. People learn in different ways. Anybody who's been, I guess you want to say educated or taught about different modes or ways of teaching, this will sound very familiar. People can be visual learners. I'm one of them. That's why we have a lot of videos. It keeps me on track. People, auditory. They hear things. Like Michelle does. She hears one thing that she'll remember for 50 years. I don't do that. Other people here don't do that. Other people, I forget what the word is. Kinetic. Tactile, kinetic. They do by touching. They do by doing. Praxis. They do things, and that's how they remember. That's why we have carpenters and all the plumbers and all these other people. Artists. Artists are unique because they hear, they're visual, and they're tactile. They got them all in one. And if you don't learn that way, or do by doing that way, you get frustrated. You quit. You stop. And that's a shame. If something negative occurs in our lives, it's easy for us to turn our back like we do often on God. We get frustrated when change happens. We get upset with leadership when things don't go our way or something challenges us. Or aspects of life that are not as easy as we desire, we leave. We quit. I did that in basketball in high school. So I joined the wrestling team. There's always another option, isn't there? Green's always grasser on the other side until you get there. Then you see, oh, it's just the same old, same old. And we began a few weeks ago realizing the darkness in our lives. And the importance of walking in the light. That means being tested in our obedience and thankfulness, the sacrifices that Christ made out of love.
Oh, no.
Teaching us forgiveness. And we talked about being centered on the truth and being loved in the midst of all that is unlovely. How you doing, bud? And that is the love of a parent, hopefully. And then we are taught that we are all beacons of light in the world, in the community, thanks to our faith and thanks to our salvation. And to me, that is just amazing stuff that John puts in front of us. So hopefully we can all begin being touched. Well, spiritually, physically, emotionally. That's what all this is about. And as you saw in the video, for the visual learners, that, when we don't quit, is when we begin to spread the seed. The seed that has been planted already in us by God, nurtured and matured by the Holy Spirit. Well, all these points boil down to evaluation of our lives and of ourselves. And we can see that the present day lives don't carry the weightiness that the church did for John or Paul or Peter, all the saints. We don't have the same weightiness that they have. We have modern medicine, modern technology, and so on, which I also promise you cannot always be that great either. So, for sure, I tell you, if we don't quit, we don't give up, that is where the mustard seed begins. However, one thing will always remain constant in John's message in this beloved church, and that this is a process. This is a process which is good. It's good, no matter what happens. And the progress is good. That's what John tells us to take very seriously. The journey of being solid in God, the walk of faith, is a process that is destined towards progress. And once I heard somebody say, we are not what we ought to be. but not what we used to be, and we are not what we will be. It's a process towards progress. And that's our text for today. 1 John 2, 12 through 14 says, I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. And I am writing to you, young men, because you have been overcome. You have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Makes total sense now, doesn't it? It wasn't for me, because I was confused. Again, I'm a visual learner. I had to look something up. So John ventures from prophet and teacher, from what we've gone through the last few weeks, and makes his way into pastor. Let me tell you something again. John telling us, the process is good. Trust in the process, because the progress is good. No matter how complicated or challenging it can be. And then why does John speak of a child moving the process of children to father? And here it is for those who are struggling with this idea. And let me tell you right now, this is not about your age. It has nothing to do with your age. So please get that idea out of your mind. It's a process that takes prayer, patience, and forgiveness. And I can't tell you where you personally fit. So please don't try to suspend ranking yourself right now. Am I a child? Am I a young man? Am I a father? It doesn't matter right now. I want you to wrestle with the concept and the scripture of this. Because you see, children believe they are forgiven because somebody told them. If you remember your days in Sunday school, if you remember that far back, I can't either. Somebody told me, Jesus loves you, you're forgiven. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. We have cupcake now. You think about it. You're a child, your parents tell you something, it's automatically true. It's the way it goes for most people. And they believe, they spiritually believe in Jesus' name. Oh, Jesus, he's that guy who died on the cross thing for our sins. I was bad, so now I'm good. Go to any kindergarten, first grade, Sunday school room, that's going to be the answer. And that is true, and that is great. That's where we start. Again, that's the learning process, concrete thinkers. That is what they know. That's what they believe. They are forgiven because of why? We tell them it's a relationship with Christ. Oh, where is he? It's been planted in them, a seed, right at that moment. This is why Jesus said, come to me like a child. You simply and innocently believe. And then life happens. Because of a parent, the child believes. Because of a role model, a teacher, a pastor, or somebody else, another, a friend's parent, they believe because they were told. But John is telling us one other thing, and any parent here probably knows, or teacher, a child is prone to deception. Because unfortunately, just about anything a parent, any adult tells them, they believe is true. Anything the television tells a child is true. That's why commercialism loves children, and that's why parents hate Christmas. They make a list. The first half-hour show they watch, and next thing you know, it's 3 pages long. I need this. Hello Kitty. Hello Kitty told me I should have it. Well, really, it was during the commercial of Hello Kitty. See, anything a child is told, they believe. If a teacher in first grade told a child George Washington was the 16th president, they're going to believe it until you prove it wrong. And that happened to me because my nephew came home and told me that. It just popped in my head to remind me. The teacher slipped up. They were talking about Abraham Lincoln for 45 minutes in the class, and that one time a teacher said George Washington by accident, that's what my nephew Josh remembered for 8 years. That's how it works. So many times children just believe because television, video games, and the great old internet and Wikipedia, because that's always true, we have false teachers. Theologically, when a person accepts Christ, this is what John is saying, when a child accepts Christ, they become a child of God. What's your name? Okay, I'll call him Alex. Right here. If Alex came in today, if the powerhouse is here, didn't believe in God, sat down in his chair, heard me say, God is real, Jesus died for your sins, you are saved, and he accepted Christ at that moment, he has become a child of God. He's not 5 years old. This is where the ranking comes in. You can't rank yourself. So that is a child of God. Character. The child believes in God's character, Christ's character, his work, his ministry. It's all understood. But however, we know a toddler gets in trouble, don't we? The terrible twos. They start touching things. They want everything. Mine, mine. This is mine. This is mine. They don't know how to share. They're being taught. They don't know how to overcome challenges unless it's how to get up the stairs when they're not supposed to. And only one true, real desire is to play all day. Child of God, accepted Christ, a new life. They get to play all day and all of that. And then real life hits them in the face and they walk out the door to be a follower of Christ. Uh-oh. It sounds great sitting in the seat, doesn't it? But next, John teaches us about young men, or young adults. Politically correct. Young adults are Christ followers who have learned how to say no to sin. They begin to overcome the ideas of sin. They understand the power of pornography. They understand the temptation of the flesh. They're learning all these things after they have begun that relationship with Christ. Now, do you see where the process is here? Progress. And John is jumping right in to these young adults are also beginning to bear good fruit. They're spreading that mustard seed. And do you remember mustard seed from a year and a half ago? It's one of the most powerful plants in the world. You plant one seed, next thing you know, the entire garden is overcome. It strangles everything else out. It bears its good fruit and kills all the weeds. It's one of the biggest plants in the Middle East. For that reason. That's why they use that as an example. It's making progress in the faith walk, and they begin to abide in the Word. They begin to learn the Scripture, learn the fruits of the Scripture, mature in the Scripture. And this creates change. It creates transformation. It's a major part of the process of maturation. They abide in the Scripture and they learn. And do you realize that's one of the reasons churches, Emmanuel, do devotions before every meeting? That's where the good news is. That's where leaders mature. That's where they open their hearts and their minds to the process and the progress that happens all around them. It's no coincidence it's been done for 1,500 years. It's a process that people get joy out of, hopefully. It's why the Bible is preached, hopefully. And this is part of the process. That means creating change while you yourself is growing. And it's continuous because of Scripture, because the Scripture will not die. It's the oldest, the most known, and the largest book still in print. It's not an accident. This is also a trip. It accelerates the progress towards sanctification. There's another big word we'll go over some other time. It's progressive, not politically or socially progressive, but it's progressive as far as John means as we move in from child to young adult and now into parenthood. So all you parents, actually close your ears. Fathers or mothers, parents, they take up the cross daily. You want to talk about learning forgiveness, so I hear so far, be a parent. We talked about children, want to play all day, they make mistakes, they destroy things, they're selfish, unintentionally, because they're learning. Mine. No. That's the biggest word also. No. And then what do they become? Teenagers. They still say no. But then other bigger issues come up, don't they? I heard this past week a group of people talking to about 900? How many kids? Thursday night? Yeah. 100. Talk to 100 9th and 12th graders about sex. I'd be scared. Right? Life doesn't get easier. And then they go to college. And then they are young adults. And then they're parents. And when you're a parent of that parent, life still doesn't get easier, does it? You only get to send the kids away. You send them to their actual parents when you're grandparents. Some. You send the parents home and keep the grandkids. There you go. But they take up the cross. Parents take up the cross. That's what Christ did. Then they get settled in. Then there's ease about them. There's no more worries. They understand, as far as John is saying, remember, as far as take up the cross, salvation. You're centered on another kingdom. You're focused on another kingdom, well beyond this one. And John's concept of father is a realization that the world is not about them. Huge concept for any of us to realize minute by minute. The world is not about us. Parents are in the world, but not of the world. In other words, you don't hate people, you love them. You don't hate nature, you love it. You're a steward, as we gave out the two recognitions. You're a steward of the world, but you're not of the world. Remember, you've already passed that part in the process. You say no. You slip up. We all do. Or there'd be no point in Jesus dying on the cross. But you do your best, because you're a child of God, to understand sin. Major choices are being made, but God centers around those choices. You have an intimate relationship, and Christ influences everything. And, as you saw in the video for you visual learners, you're spreading that seed. You're spreading that influence. And that's what John is centering on. That's walking in the light. That's growing in God. So closing today, John uses a family metaphor to remind us that Christians, that they are in a maturation process that we cannot give up on. Over the past few weeks, we have in reality been exploring what it means to grow up in God. And as a part of that journey from child to father and parents, meaning we learn to bear the fruits because we know we love God, so therefore we know we love each other. We forgive. We mature in the process and we spread that love and good news. The fruit of the Spirit. Again, process is good, progress is good. So listen to this, please, real quick. From Matthew 23:13. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what is sown. So to get high theological here, justification. We have Christ. We're justified. We're a child of God if we believe. Sanctification. Because we believe, we're doing what? We're working in that process. We have our salvation. All occurs because Jesus gave us all. That ultimate parent. The bridegroom of the church. He made the sacrifice that for all believers, we don't give up. And to me, that's personally exciting. No matter what we do, we're saved. So why do we have to give up anywhere? It's tough in a relationship. People give up. We don't have to. And that is what John's talking about. We will not give up in this walk. Justification, sanctification strengthens us. And that is what this video speaks to. That is what all this music speaks to. That is what I'm speaking to. And that is what John is telling his church and you right now. So I pray we can all take this away with us this week. Christ our Savior has freed us to walk free in his light. Never give up. And spread that mustard seed. Amen.